Well, you're looking at the topic there and fools and foolishness, and some of you may be thinking, is he going to be talking about the presidential debate this past Monday night or whatever that was? Or I was trying to think of good illustrations to go with this lesson, and I thought, I really don't want to share some of those things I've done. So I searched on the internet to try to find something. And I knew I didn't want to share anything I thought might have been foolish that somebody else had done here in the church or in my family. So I looked on the internet to try to find some illustrations of foolish people that I thought wouldn't get me in trouble. And who else to pick on except criminals, right? The radio shows have used these and different ones I've heard over the years. And I'm sure there's some that are better, but here's a few that I found that illustrate foolishness and fools to get our thoughts going in this direction. You know, some people just do some really, really foolish things. There was an alleged robber in Gainesville, Florida, who robbed an Arby's station, an Arby's restaurant, only to be foiled in part by her choice of getaway vehicles. She took a taxi cab. The 20-year-old, after robbing Arby's for $200-something, then hailed a taxi, and which didn't make it hard for the police to spot the vehicle, and they stopped the vehicle less than two blocks away. Taylor was in the back seat with the $219 of money. And then another lady, this is pretty bad, was stopped twice in the same day, once at 9:25 and later on at 2:47 in the day, for operating a vehicle under the influence. She was arrested and then let go in the trusted care of a friend, and then got back behind the wheel again of a car, and was stopped again, and was not able to pass the sobriety test, and actually had a high blood alcohol level. I think that shows the foolishness in her part, but also maybe in the foolishness in our in some of the legal system there. Here's a good one. My children might try to do this with some of their games they have at home. The largest bill in circulation is the $100 bill. But that didn't stop the 53-year-old Michael Anthony Fuller, who should have known better, to try to get change from a $1 million note. Fuller, who really should have done his homework, tried to use the note to buy a microwave, a vacuum cleaner, and other goods totaling $476. By his reckoning, he was due $999,524 in change. After the police were called, Fuller was charged with attempting to obtain goods under false pretense and uttering a forged instrument. And finally, this one's pretty serious. Someone actually in Poland committed murder and then thought they had gotten away with the murder, and 3 years later wrote a book. They were an author, and they wrote a book. And in this book, it described basically the same kind of murder that the police had been trying to investigate and find out about for some time. When the police stumbled upon the book, they unearthed a trail linking the author back to the murdered victim. His arrogance got the best of him. You know, in a lot of ways, those illustrations, though they can be used sometimes, and a lot of other silly criminal illustrations can be used for humor, each of them kind of illustrate what it is to be a fool. A fool involves our arrogance. And we get in trouble when we say things we should not say, our mouths, and when we do actions without thinking. I want to share with you tonight five things from the book of Proverbs, three from Proverbs and two from the New Testament, of foolish behavior that we should try to avoid. And each of these are things that there could be more, but I chose these five to talk about foolishness. Number one, a fool rejects learning. Now the word fool is very, very common. I didn't look up how many times it's found in the ESV version of Proverbs, but I did read all those passages, and it is very numerous. In fact, I'm going to probably include more scriptures than I will read on the PowerPoint. And I did not include near all the ones I found on the PowerPoint. In fact, I could have made my whole sermon all of several more points from the book of Proverbs about what fools do, but I chose the prominent ones and some that kind of grouped together. And this one is the main one from Proverbs about foolishness, and that is that they reject learning. Let's read some of these passages to kind of get a flavor of what Proverbs means by this. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, kind of the thesis statement for the book, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You know that in the book of Proverbs, wisdom, or the wise, are often pitted against the foolish and their behavior. And so he begins saying that the wise are going to seek out knowledge and instruction, but a fool is going to reject it. In verse 22 of the same chapter, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge?" Chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple man, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for what I speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right." This call of wisdom, to hear from it, to listen to it. "And fools, learn something." Here, chapter 12, verse 15 through 16. Notice this. "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes." The fool is arrogant. You see, we don't probably use the word fool in that much, and we certainly don't want to offend someone by saying they're a fool. And Jesus even talks some about looking down upon people in a negative way and calling people foolish. But here's the thing we got to realize. If we have any of these behaviors that we're talking about tonight, the Bible calls that foolish. And I know sometimes I'm foolish, and sometimes, if you're honest, I'm sure you can be foolish. It's the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Do we listen to what advice others are giving us? Do we listen to the and seek out the wisdom of older, mature people or people that have gone through similar things? The foolish person rejects it. They say they know everything. They don't need to learn. You can never tell them anything. And there's more scriptures on the screen that you can notice that observe this same point. But it seems that the root cause of someone having this symptom is arrogance. That they're arrogant in their behavior and their attitude. And we need to be, as Jesus says, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I remember talking one time with a neighbor in Tennessee. And he thought it was this man was a practical atheist. If he wasn't, not an avowed atheist. He ridiculed Christianity, and he was a very, very bitter man. But anyways, he thought, and this was basically his terminology, he thought it was so foolish for Christians to go to Bible study. He said, "Well, you Christians, y'all go to Bible study every Sunday and every Wednesday. And then you hear preaching the other times." He said, "I don't understand it." He said, "You got one book. Can't you learn that book?" And his overall attitude, obviously, was so arrogant. Of course, I tried to share with him that, obviously, he has not tried to mine the depths of the Word of God and understand the tremendous wisdom contained in how you can study the Bible your entire life and never obtain all the knowledge in it. And that Bible study is not just about learning for a test like our students might in school or something, but Bible study is as much about transformation as it is information. But a fool, and he was a fool rejects learning. And we've got to always be eager to want to learn more, no matter how old we are, how smart we are, We kind of want to learn. Number two, the next thing I would say about foolishness from Proverbs is from chapter 10, verse 23. And that is, a fool jokes at wrongdoing. Look at chapter 10, verse number 23. Doing wrong is like a... And your version may say something a little different, but the English Standard Version uses the term joke. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. But wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. Doing wrong is like a joke. Read with me chapter 13, verse number 19. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul. But to turn away from evil, is an abomination to fools. Fools like to run with evil. And then finally, chapter 14, verse number 9, I want to read on this passage. Listen to this. Fools mock at the guilt offering. A guilt offering is, in the Old Testament, is when you offered a sacrifice about your sin. And so you go to the priest and you say, you know, I'm bringing this lamb, I'm bringing this goat, this bird or something as an offering for my sin. I'm guilty. I've sinned. It's kind of like going forward today, or it's confession in our prayer. It's where you say, I'm guilty. And he says a fool laughs at that. A fool laughs at the idea of saying, I've sinned. I'm guilty. He says a fool mocks the guilt offering, but the upright enjoy acceptance. We need to be very careful about this one, because we can fall into this as well, where we don't take wrong things seriously. We don't take sin seriously. You know, a lot of our entertainment choices we need to be careful about, because if you think about it, comedies and things like that, even drama or other type things, they can be shows or entertainment that is focused on sinful things. Even some of the titles. For example, the series of comedies called The Hangover. I think there was one or two, three. I'm not sure how many. I haven't seen any of those. But you think about what that emphasis is. Well, it's you know, over on the idea of drunkards and hangovers and all that goes on there. A fool says, that's something to joke about. That's something to laugh about. People getting drunk and having a big time and all this big party. And how many movies are really around that central comedy theme? Or here's another show that maybe is about an affair, and it's made to be a very loving thing, an emotional thing. And we understand that we need to be careful with those kind of things. And even at work, with our friends, we got to be careful. If they are making a lot of jokes about wrongful things, and we as Christians need to blush at those things. And we don't need to make a joke out of sin. Because sin is what put Jesus on the cross. And so don't make a joke out of wrongdoing. Number three, and this one is obvious. I think that you were probably all could have thought of this one. If you've read any of Proverbs, you would have thought, and you would have immediately, if we weren't even talking about the Bible, if I were to just go into Walmart and say, what do foolish people do? Or I were to say, what's the most foolish thing you've ever done? Probably about 50% of those would be what? Something we did with our mouth. You're not going to believe this, but I said, I don't know what I was thinking when I said, I mean, we've all done that. I don't know why my mouth got running faster than my brain, or I was so embarrassed after I said, and it's just very common for all of us to make foolish mistakes with our mouths. And Proverbs is certainly going to make this point. Let's read a few of them, since we're in chapter 10 already. Let's look at chapter 10, verse number 8. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool, I like that one, the babbling fool will come to ruin. And the fool, just pictured, is babbling on and on and on. Now look at verse 10. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. The winking of the eye is kind of the idea of deception. You know, hey, you know, I'm going to try to deceive you, kind of pull the wool over your eye. Look at verse 13 through 14. Oh, the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. Chapter 12, verse 23. We'll read another one here. A prudent man conceals knowledge. A wise man doesn't say all he knows. But the heart of fools proclaims folly. You know, oftentimes the wisest person is the one who doesn't talk. Who waits to the opportune time to talk. Who knows when to speak and when to be quiet. That's what the verse is talking about. The fool just tells all he knows. He just, you know, he's going to always talk, talk, talk. This morning, in the young people, I'm teaching the teen class, and I was talking to them about how to get along in relationships with others. And one of the points we made is not to be selfish. And that one of the ways that can portray our selfishness is in relationships. If we're always talking about ourselves. If we're always concerned about ourselves and what we're doing, you know, doing what we want to do and talking about what we want to talk about and not concerned about the other person. You see, a fool doesn't control their mouth, but they just babble on and on. You know, James talks about this idea that no man can control the tongue. And I think all of us have said foolish things. And we will say foolish things. I've said foolish things. That's the bad thing about being a preacher. Sometimes you say foolish things to the whole church. But we need to understand that this is something that none of us are going to be perfect at. All of us are going to struggle with this. But just because we're going to struggle with it doesn't mean we can just say it's all right. We have to always want to work at it. And we always need to be understanding that this is something that we've got to try to control. We've got to work on controlling our mouths. Proverbs talks so much about this, about the tongue and about controlling our mouths. I'm not going to read any more passages because they do get a bit redundant, but they do talk about it from various elements. I want to move now to the New Testament. I have two from the New Testament I want to mention. And I was going to next week, but Northside has their gospel meeting next week, and we're going to be there for David Lapp. But the New Testament talks about foolishness in two senses. It talks about foolishness in a negative sense, and that's what we're going to look at tonight on two passages. But it also talks about foolishness in a positive sense. So Lord willing, in about a month from now, I think that's the next time it worked out, but because we've got our emergency workers appreciation night on the 16th. And so I think it'll be the Sunday after that. I'm going to talk about being a fool for Christ and how the New Testament talks about that we need to be fools as Christians and the foolishness of the message preached. And we'll look at some of those passages. But in the two negative ways that I'm going to notice, I'm not going to say that that's all the Bible says about it. But that I want to point out is, first of all, Luke chapter 12, verse 15 through 21. And this is the story of Jesus. Excuse me just a minute. And in this story, it's famously known as the rich fool. I thought, how can I do a sermon on the fools and foolishness without including this story? And so let's read this story and talk about it. We'll pick up at verse 14 because that's the overall context. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made you a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care." This is the main point Jesus is making. "Be on guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." It's not about all that you get. It's not he who dies with the most toys wins. And he told them this parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and I will build larger ones. And there I will store up all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. For God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and things you have prepared, whose will they be? Now listen to Jesus. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We live in a world today where if we apply this definition of foolishness, the majority of our society is foolish. The majority of our society is focused on storing up goods, riches for themselves, and are not rich toward God. Now, most of them would be offended if you said that to them, if you said, hey, you're a fool. And many of them are extremely shrewd in making money. Many of them are very wise businessmen and very good at making money and very good in the world's categories of doing these things. They're not dumb people. They're wise people when it comes to that. But they're foolish when it comes to their priorities. See, Jesus is talking about priorities. And he says, this man who was a great farmer, he had done good farming. He had a successful year, and he was going to tear down his barns, and he's going to build bigger barns, and there's nothing wrong in improving his business. But the problem is, this fool was focused on his own pleasure. He was going to say to his own soul, eat, drink, and be merry, and rest. He was not focused on helping others. He wasn't focused on giving. He wasn't focused on God. He wasn't focused on any of his relationships he had, of how God had blessed him with these things. He wasn't thankful or grateful. And he was only focused, as Jesus said, upon storing these treasures up for himself. It's a fool. Now, I live in a world, you live in a world, that is foolish, where it's all about storing up and about, you know, there's security in storing up and there's safety in storing up, and that we are fed advertisements all the time telling us we need these things and you've got to have the latest and the greatest. And there's people that are depending upon us buying those things so that they can stay in business. And so they sell us a bill of goods that says you've got to have these things. And what Jesus says is that's foolish to live for this world. We've got to keep our priorities in line. And if we don't, we're a fool. And then the next time I want to point out that the Bible talks about fools in the New Testament is another famous parable of Jesus. And that is the story of the 10 virgins. And of course, let's read this parable too. Instead of telling you the story, we'll read it and note as we talk about it. Most of you are probably familiar with it, but I want us to read it to make sure that we remember it. Verse 1, the kingdom of heaven was like 10 virgins who took lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And of course, this is based upon the ancient practice of them waiting upon the bridegroom. And the bridegroom would go to the house and they would all then go to the wedding party. And of course, Jesus is the bridegroom and he's pictured as that. And he's coming to receive his bride ultimately on the day of judgment, the church. But this is an illustration of that. He says, five of them were foolish and five were wise. Now what's going to make the five foolish and what's going to make the five wise? For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. They only took what oil they had in the lamp. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delaying, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. The bridegroom had been delayed. He didn't come when they thought he would. But now he comes at midnight, at a time they did not expect. You see, that's parallel in the idea of Jesus comes at an hour we do not expect. Verse 7. Then they all those virgins, all the virgins rose, and they trimmed their lamps. And the fourth said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourself. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour. Now, this is a very simple parable, but it is so profound, and it's so powerful. The idea is you are foolish if you are not prepared for the Lord's return. Notice implicit in the parable is the idea that you could have been prepared at one time and now have become unprepared. Think about that. In other words, you could have been a faithful Christian earlier in life, but now you have become unprepared. You have not kept your lantern filled with oil. In other words, you have not let your light shine for Jesus. You have left the faith. And now when the bridegroom comes, when the Lord returns or your death takes place, you are unprepared. Now, this goes well with the story in Luke 12. Maybe they were focused, as the rich fool was, upon preparing for this world and storing up things for this world. Maybe, like these foolish virgins, maybe they just weren't thinking it would be so long. You know, they thought they had enough. But they were not prepared. And they're foolish. They're foolish. You know, I think that this is one that, and hopefully there's none here tonight, but there may be, that have been hearing the gospel, know the gospel, but just keep putting it off. Now, you may not think of yourself as a fool, but I want you to know, if you're spurning the gospel, if you're not responding to the gospel, if you are not ready for the Lord to return right now, that's foolish. I mean, that's like if we knew that this building was on fire, or we knew that a tornado was coming directly at this building, and you did nothing to prepare. You didn't try to get out of the building. You didn't try to, if it was on fire, you didn't try to take safety if there was a tornado coming. You didn't do anything. It'd be foolish, wouldn't it? I had a friend one time who was pretty foolish when there was a tornado going through Jackson that went outside and was in it and actually had to like tie himself and hold on to a tree to make it through the storm. That was foolish. We told him that was foolish. He said it was foolish after he did it. You know, in a lot of ways, people are doing that spiritually. The storms of life are raging, and they know they need to be prepared. They know, even as maybe in their own life, they have serious health concerns. But they don't turn to God. It's foolish. We've got to make sure we're ready for the Lord's return. I'm sure there could be much more said, but this is a general overview of what it means to be fools or foolish in Proverbs and a couple passages from the New Testament. As we look at these, notice how there's some similarities to all these. What runs through these is what we talked about with the criminals. Arrogance, pride, a problem with our mouth, a problem with thinking about God and surrendering our life to God. Fools reject learning. Fools joke at wrongdoing. Fools can't control their mouths. Fools store up for themselves, and fools are not prepared for the Lord's return. I want to mention one thing, too, that I forgot to mention on the can't control their mouths. And that is this idea, too, that we need to be very careful and conscientious, not only about what we say, but also what we write, especially now in public platforms and social media. A lot of foolish behavior takes place, not publicly verbal, but publicly online. And so we also need to be cognizant that it's foolish to say things online that we would not want said audibly and that we shouldn't be saying in either case. And so we need to be careful and be honest with our behavior and want to make sure that we're not fools. If you're here this evening, you're not a child of God, don't leave unprepared. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come as together we stand and sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close.